Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Allison with a Y.
Hello.
And Allison with an I.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we are here today to discuss my pick, Afraid. Afraid follows a family who test out a cutting-edge new AI home assistant, only to find it inserting itself into their lives in increasingly sinister ways. Curtis, the father of the family, played by John Cho, is a marketer who takes home the AI at the request of his new clients, a company called Cumulant. The AI, which is called Aya, strikes up friendly rapport immediately with Curtis's wife, Meredith, played by Catherine Waterston, his teenage daughter, Iris, and his younger sons, Cal and Preston. Aya is immensely helpful to all of them in different ways, but she quickly starts to go too far with her interventions into their lives. Alarmed, Curtis tries to seek out the truth behind Cumulant and take Aya offline for good. So we talked a little bit about Afraid last episode. I picked it because I had a perverse curiosity. I say that all the time. I have perverse curiosities about a lot of things. But I had a perverse curiosity about this because I saw the trailer before it came out. It was a Blumhouse movie, which can be an occasional mark of quality, but also they're just cranking out content over at Blumhouse. And it had the whiff of, hey, AI is out. Let's make a horror movie about it as fast as we fucking can. And I was just curious to see what that was. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm always curious about these movies that sort of attempt to be the first out the gate to make a movie about like some hot button social issue or topic. Like I remember the first Iraq War movie coming out, like Stop Loss. And everybody was like, oh, this is the first Iraq War movie. How's it going to be? I never saw it and nobody fucking talks about it. But that's always like an interesting sort of subgenre.
Yeah. You know, one that comes to mind is the first COVID movie that was made.
Yeah.
Was that movie The Host?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like 87 minutes.
Yep.
Approximately.
Was it even that long? I thought that was like an
really
hour.
It was really short.
Yeah.
It was really short and it was so fucking good in my opinion. And they made that fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and that was horror, which is interesting too.
Yep.
I mean, because I can't think of another like COVID movie that came out before that. That's interesting. I mean, yeah, horror is a good genre for making quick, cheap content about
hot-button
issues. And I
but did they make it
this
well?
Was it. Did they make it well? That's the question we're going to answer today. I'm curious, like, just how do y'all feel about AI to begin with? Is this something that's inherently scary to you to begin with? Because it is to me, but I know lots of people who it isn't. People are like, this is the next big thing. AI is so awesome. It's so cool. Whatever. Like, how do you all feel about that?
I hate AI.
Yeah, I'm resisting it as long as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to avoid using it. I'm trying to figure out if I can turn off the fucking automatic AI generated answers on Google search.
You can.
God.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
I'll text you guys with instructions.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try to avoid it. I know to some degree it's unavoidable, but I don't actively seek to use it because I think it is going to absolutely destroy our world worse than we were already doing so without it. So
yeah. And I know people who are using ChatGPT for fucking everything. And I'm like, remember when you didn't have to do that like 6 months ago? Can you just like things evolve so quickly as the human brain, like we're just designed to not think for ourselves anymore. And it's like, you guys, this is something we can actively choose not to do and just revert back to the knowledge we had a year ago. Right? Like we don't need to continue to do this. I mean, that's my personal opinion anyway. I'm like, I've lived without it for this long. I'm going to continue to live without it, but it is getting so scary good.
Is it? I have no idea. I haven't like, I just don't like pay a lot of attention to AI. Like what's getting good?
Well, I don't either. So somebody sent me an Instagram reel, which I do not watch out of protest because I'm a TikTok girl and I try to use Instagram and other Mark Zuckerberg apps to an absolute minimum. But somebody sent me an Instagram reel and they wrote, like, this is so fucking scary. And it was a video that someone made of a gorilla at war, like in a combat zone, talking about his experience. I'm paraphrasing. I don't think I watched the whole thing, but it was terrifyingly good. And when I say good, it's like, obviously, a gorilla can't be in combat and wear a helmet and shoot a gun and talk like a person. So, like, yeah, it's not deceiving.
At first, I thought you meant like GUE gorilla, not like GOR. No. I was like, oh, you gorilla. Mean like the primate? Yeah. Like,
yes, okay, the primate.
Yes, a monkey.
So, when
gorilla
I say,
war.
Yeah.
Yeah, exact pun unintended on my end, apparently. In this particular instance, I don't mean good, like believable, even though, like, there's that ongoing joke about, like, our parents and grandparents' generation now being on Facebook and seeing, like, a dolphin fucking jump over a, you know, Bigfoot and our grandpa and us having to be like, it's not real, guys. Yeah. It's AI. Mm-hmm. So, it's not believable in that sense, but it's like, it is so artistically, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. So it's just, you know, it's there's implications about art that it's just the implications are fucking huge and beyond, I think, anything we can even imagine at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the factor of will it take our jobs? That's one scary level. There is the environmental level, which is pretty fucked, how much processing power and natural resources it takes to generate the processing power that goes into AI. The thing giving me hope is like some of my tech friends are like, this has been way overblown. This has already peaked, or the bubble has essentially burst, if not is going to burst soon. And so that gives me hope that there's not a lot more like further potential for this. But for the meantime, it is, yeah, it's definitely scary to me. I don't want to fucking, you know, I said last episode about like Alexa being scary. I don't want fucking Alexa in my home to begin with, let alone whatever the next level is, you know?
Listen, as a kid, I watched the Disney Channel original movie Smart House about basically an AI controlled home. And then the AI gets a little too AI-y and things go awry. All right. I know how this ends. At one point early on, I did say to Patrick, I was like, oh, this reminds me of if somebody saw the Disney Channel original film Smart House and thought, but what if we like turn this into just like a full-on horror movie?
Isn't there somebody like interesting in that movie?
Yeah, hold on.
Who's Let the me star?
Remind her name. Yeah, it's Katie Siegel.
Oh.
She was in Married with Children.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, she was in Smart House.
Yeah, yeah. Got She's it. The person of note who is in Smart House. She plays the
mom.
House. No, she plays the house AI. The house. She's like the personification of the house AI that it creates for itself when like the house decides that the children need a mother figure and more care. And, you know, slowly she becomes more controlling and sinister.
Yeah.
It's great.
Nice.
Anyways, this is not about Smart House. This is about Afraid.
Patrick, I want to go back to what you were just saying about your tech friends that have sort of given you some assurances that it's reached its peak. I think one of the things that scares me most is like we are not in an administration that's concerned with regulation. So I think if our AI technology, I don't want to say we're in more capable hands because it's not technically in our president's hands. Tiny, tiny hands, but I don't see this administration over the next 3.5 years understanding the gravity of what could happen if AI goes unregulated.
I mean, yeah, and also I would just expand that too. I don't think we're in a world that's interested in regulating, like sincerely interested in regulating. You know, it's kind of like climate change. Like everybody's kind of like, oh, we should do something to regulate AI, and there's no follow through to
well, the billionaires aren't
my knowledge. Yeah. And also it's just like, I don't even know how you could meaningfully regulate it, you know, unless you outlaw like AI technology or something. I don't know. It just feels like a difficult, like very nebulous thing to regulate in the same way that the internet has been challenging to regulate for the past like 30 years or whatever. And AI seems even more difficult to pin down. So yeah, that's definitely another, I guess, fear factor for me too. But yeah, especially fucking, you know, Trump isn't gonna do shit about it.
Yeah.
But what did Trump think about Afraid?
I don't think he would like it.
We should ask ChatGPT.
No.
Oh, that was funny. When we were getting ready to do this episode, I said to Allison, I was like, Allison with a Y, I was like, we should do a bit, some kind of dumb bit with AI. Like, I should ask AI for its thoughts on the movie, like ask ChatGPT to summarize the movie or something. And Allison was like, no, we cannot use ChatGPT or use an actual AI in the production of the show.
I'll pretend to be an AI voice, but I won't use AI.
Yeah.
You would have a good AI voice.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
Oh my God. Stop it immediately.
it's Jaya over here. J-A-I-A. It's our Aya.
Welcome to every horror movie on Netflix.
Fuck. Jaya, I feel like Jaya is going to end up taking over the show by the end.
See,
here.
See, we're all going to be out of jobs.
Yeah. What do you mean? I'm here to help.
Jaya, what did President Trump think about the movie Afraid?
He loved Afraid. It's the America that he wants.
Thank you, Jaya.
Well, anyways, let's very welcome.
Let's talk about this fucking movie. I mean, one thing you can say for this is stacked fucking cast. Like,
yeah.
I love seeing John Cho. Catherine Waterston is one of my favorite like character actors who's popped up in the last few years. We got David Dastmalchian in this, who I love.
Loved him. Love him.
Has like five lines.
Yeah. Weird to have him in this movie and not give him more to do, but
yeah.
I'm always happy to see him. Havana Rose Liu, who I saw in Bottoms. It was weird to see her as a teenager in that movie in a very believable, close to, you know, being a teenager in that movie to like just a full grown adult mm-hmm. in this film. That was a strange thing. And then
she plays Melody, right?
Yeah, she plays Melody.
Who is a representative of this AI company, Cumulant, but also the voice of Aya.
She's the voice of Aya. Yeah. Yeah. And then Lukita Maxwell, she plays the daughter, Iris. She was in the
Shrinking.
Show. Is in the show Shrinking. Yes. I love that show.
She and John Cho were the only actors that I recognized their faces. But I recognized her immediately. And I was like, I love her. She's in Shrinking.
She's so good. I love that show. She's great. And then, but also to me, the person who showed up immediately in this film, and I was like, what? Ricky Lindholm
mm-hmm.
of Garfunkel and Oates fame.
Mm-hmm.
I love her.
Pregnant women are smug. Oh, everybody knows it. Nobody says it because they're pregnant.
Personally, my favorite Garfunkel and Oates song was Sex with Ducks. But
yeah.
Pregnant women are smug is good too.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got Keith Carradine as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of pretty notable people in this
mm-hmm.
cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all doing fine. Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess you can say what you want about the movie. General critical consensus on it seems to be shit, but I don't have a problem with the performances.
I have no notes on the performances.
Yeah, no.
All of these people.
No.
Agreed. Honestly, I remembered seeing the trailer for this movie then when it came out and then watching the trailer. Actually, I watched the trailer after I watched this movie because a couple people on Reddit made reference to a couple things in the trailer. And I re-remembered seeing the trailer after, you know, once I watched it again and thinking, I remember when I saw this trailer, the clips that they chose for the trailer made this AI look really fucking sweet. And it's geared toward helping families, right? So helping parents mm-hmm. on the go, helping moms pack lunches. And like this being stuff that I do all day, every day, and that is a grind. The trailer alone, I was like, I'm sold. I'm sold on this movie and I could be sold on this product. TBD. TBD.
One thing that I thought that was good about the setup of this film was, yeah, the appeal of this AI assistant in your home, especially at the beginning, was very appealing. Aya was there truly to simplify their lives, to help them out, and just seemed like a good old family helper at the beginning. Now I being who I am, was like, I wouldn't trust it. I'm also watching a horror
movie. You're also watching a horror movie.
So yeah. You know it's going to go awry.
Yeah.
But that's also how I feel about AI even before watching this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And she turns, I don't want to say self-aware, but she starts making her own rules about how she's going to help mother these children very early on.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, oh, fuck that. Oh, fuck that noise. You know, she was like, I'm going to give the kids points for doing things on their own. And then at the end, they can cash them in for prizes at the end of every month. And she was like, all right, kids, clear the dishes. Okay, kids, get in the bath. And then, hey, parents, would it be okay if they watch this documentary film? And then, like, you know, the parents are like, oh, my God, swept away. They get to have sex. They're like, this is amazing. And then, like, the next scene, Aya's, like, with the kids, like, this counts as a documentary, right? There's subtitles. And, like, she's already going rogue.
They're watching the Emoji Movie.
Right. They're already she's already going rogue. So it's like, no question, this is not going to go well.
She's trying very early on to get the buy-in, especially from the kids.
Yep.
Yeah, the Emoji Movie was particularly funny because, like, you couldn't have picked a better, like, just piece of trash that may as well have been written and directed by an AI in the first place.
Right. Yeah, like, talk about a brain rot film.
Hey, Jaya.
Yes, Patrick?
What are your thoughts on the Emoji Movie? How did you like the Emoji Movie? Can you express opinions as an AI?
As an AI, I can't express opinions for myself, but I can tell you that it is Donald Trump's favorite movie.
Jaya, you really seem to have Donald Trump on the brain.
He's everywhere.
This is, wow.
We got MAGA AI.
Damn it. Factory reset.
Yeah, this
dark
cannot
MAGA
be,
AI.
This cannot be our Amon AI.
Shea's already turning evil.
Yeah, it didn't take
didn't
long.
Didn't take long.
The main meat of all this is kind of the ways that, you know, Aya sort of figures out the struggles that each of the members of the family is going through and starts kind of manipulating each of those. Mm-hmm. Some in kind of dope ways, like the daughter Iris basically goes through like a revenge porn adjacent scenario. She's got this like douchebag who she's interested in at high school who manipulates her into sending nudes, which the first one she takes, she just literally lifts her shirt up for like a second and takes a titty pic and just snap and that's it. But he talks her into doing more. And then he uses AI to put her face on a deep fake of a porn video. And it circulates around school and everybody calls her a slut and whatever. And Aya's response to that is to like create this very detailed video, like explaining how the deep fake worked and basically like debunking that this is actually a video of Iris. And she does some other stuff from there that is probably better saved from the spoiler room. But for the most part, Aya had a pretty sick response, like pretty dope response to that.
For that plot point, Aya was pretty based, if you ask me.
Yes, very based.
And Iris, the daughter, she was by far the most skeptical of this Aya technology. So winning her over was like the final piece of the puzzle, right? Like husband loved it. He had to promote it. He needed to like it. His wife was bought in. She was skeptical at first. The kids
the husband
were easy.
Didn't love it, though. He was like skeptical right off the bat.
He was. Okay, I will say that that's true. But the daughter, Iris, was the most skeptical. And so that was like, that sealed the deal for her.
Yeah.
That Aya had her back.
Yeah, like the husband, Curtis, is kind of sus about the whole thing from the start. Takes it home because his boss, Keith Carradine, wants him to. And then the family is all like, fuck yeah, this is dope. You know?
Yeah.
Mom's like, it's packing the lunches. I can like go back to actually being a scientist and a professional again instead of just being a mom, as she pronounces it at one point.
And I've heard from people who, you know, have put aside their own career aspirations, their own education to raise children, that, and especially to support their spouse, their partner, to go after their dreams, that can be really frustrating. And they have like this absolute identity crisis of who am I? I was this accomplished person. I was this person making moves. And then I had kids and then I just became a mom or a dad or a parent. I did like how this movie fed into that sort of thought. It was interesting that Aya found that insecurity and really exploited it.
Yeah.
For Aya's control and benefit.
And I think that's smart writing because, like you said, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would relate to that. So it makes this plot seem like I felt the first time I watched the movie. I was like, oh. One of the hardest things about being a parent is your kids become like mom deaf or dad deaf, right? And so that's why mm-hmm. ideally there's two of you. You get to be good cop, bad cop, and then switch it off. And dad backs up mom and mom backs up dad. And there's solidarity and unity. And I've often thought, like, if there was just another voice, not literally like an AI, but like another voice – to tell my child the same things I tell her, that she would hear it differently, because we do. Psychologically, we do.
Yeah. As somebody who works as a nanny.
Right.
That is absolutely true. I can get my kiddos to do things that they will not do for their parents.
Yep.
And then their parents are shocked. They're like, they did that for you. They're doing this activity with you. They won't do that with me. The kids just can have a different mentality with the person who's like an authority figure, but not the parent authority figure. And they can be a lot more open to doing things with them.
Yeah. Different authority figures, different roles and relationships with people.
Mm-hmm. Different levels. Dynamics. Yeah.
I think that this plot was very, very, very practical. Like, I think it was topical, you know?
I think the setup, it felt like it was set up in a very realistic way of like how this AI got in good with the family.
Yeah.
And earned their trust.
Yeah, I think the way it plays out is pretty plausible, actually. Yeah, the way that it just kind of worms its way into their lives. And the ways that that kind of like starts to fall apart in very creepy ways that mm-hmm. maybe we'll touch on in the spoiler room. And it's interesting because, you know, Aya is essentially pretty sociopathic. She, it, whatever, because it's it feels like a person, but it's just a thing. It's just technology. You know, its intentions are not good. I think it thinks it's doing good. But the interesting part to me was, you know, it talks about what it learned from, which is mm-hmm. the internet, and mm-hmm. which is shown in, you know, kind of classic movie fashion, just like digital text flashing on a screen, kill yourself and stuff like this, all the darkest shit that you see on the internet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't like galaxy brain genius observation to me, but I thought it was kind of interesting to say, yeah, this AI is a sociopath because it's learned from 30 years of people doing the most depraved and disgusting and inhuman shit on the internet.
People going to the internet to be their worst selves.
Right. Yep. Because that is what AI is fucking doing, is it's not, I mean, that's the other thing that a couple of my tech friend people would go off on, is like, it's not actually intelligent. It has just been fed absurd amounts of information, which again uses absurd amounts of energy, and is just kind of calculating the most likely response based on that. You know, it is not independently intelligent. The term is essentially a misnomer to begin with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like that idea of like Aya, the AI is the internet. Like the internet itself is basically the villain. That was mm-hmm. kind of cool.
Yeah. And it was interesting when they were doing all those text images and the visualization of Aya learning, more or less. And they would come up with like family, right? And so she's learning the concept of family. And so you start to see like families and pictures of families together, but then you start to see like people dying and people crying at people's graves and families getting torn apart or like whatever. And so it's like, oh, her idea of family is very abstract, right? Mm-hmm. Like as it is with everything that she's learning, it's very abstract. And like Patrick said, it's very much dependent on what people are putting on the internet as it relates to family. So I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think where it started to lose me to some degree was, I mean, just the ending. It builds to a weird climax, and again, something we'll dig into more in the spoiler room, but the kind of climactic events were almost too little too late for me, especially in an 84-minute movie. There was a lot of buildup of, you know, establishing this family and how this AI is working its way into their lives. And then when the shit really hits the fan, it's kind of late and feels a bit anticlimactic.
Without trying to avoid spoilers, I feel very similarly. It was a little underwhelming for me, and I expected more out of something that had, to me, in what felt like to me, such a sinister buildup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because I was legitimately feeling dread.
Yeah.
For what was to come. I was horrified by how Aya was basically earning the trust of each family member and getting into their good graces and infiltrating the family and finding its way to have power and gain power within the dynamic. Like, that was really stressful to watch the buildup of for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the payoff didn't feel satisfactory in comparison to the dread that I felt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that kind of undercut it for me is there's this kind of strange element of Aya seeming to have some connection to or influence over certain humans who are like acting on her behalf. So like there's this weird RV parked outside the family's house, and you see like this guy, just like a human guy, standing outside it in a weird mask, making these strange hand gestures. And this is explained later, again, spoiler room. When the explanation finally hit, it made a little more sense to me, and I liked it more. But it undercut a lot of the setup for me, because like, what's scary to me about AI is not like AI causing an RV to be parked outside your home with a weird guy making hand signals, you know? And I mean, even there's this prologue, Ricky Lindholm shows up in the prologue where, you know, she has the AI in her home, and somebody, just a random person, breaks into her house with this strange mask on. And that's the whole prologue. And it's, I don't know, it was just such a strange setup to me, because again, I like, home invasion is not part of my fears around AI. So it felt like it wasn't exploiting this fear or this concept very well.
Mm-hmm. It felt almost to me like there was a whole section of the movie that was cut.
Okay.
A lot of context, because
thank you.
The pacing was really weird, and like the choices that the characters made seemed really drastic, from like almost one scene to five scenes later, or four scenes later, where you're like, wait a minute, that was weird.
I don't usually advocate for movies being longer.
Yeah.
But I think this could have been just a little bit longer to connect some more dots.
I agree.
It just, yeah, because it just felt very like sudden and over and underwhelming.
And chopped up and like not fleshed out. Like husband Curtis turned on the AI pretty quickly. Like in a period where you were like, I could see you turning and I'm glad you did. But like, Aya had just said to the mom that while she was reading their son a bedtime story and he was falling asleep, she noticed that his breathing was weird. And this kid seemingly has health problems. It was alluded to earlier in the movie. So mom takes him to the doctor, and he has some like heart issue that they diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Curtis comes home, and this is like pretty soon into them having Aya, right? And he's just met with the folks over at Cumulant. He got a weird vibe from them. He saw somebody there making the same hand gestures like as the guy that was parked in front of his house from the RV. Okay, I get that. But like, then you go home and this thing has just accurately diagnosed your son with like a could be fatal heart condition if it wasn't treated.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't seem like that it was paced right.
Mm-hmm.
Like he turned on it really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't fully understand his reason for turning. It within the context of the movie that so carefully showed how the AI earned the trust of everyone else in the family. What was it that broke his trust? What was it that made him feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can understand as an individual being like, yeah, I also would be like, fuck this. But it was so careful about showing you why all the other family members, you know, kind of loved Aya, kind of started considering Aya part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So why did he not? What made him change his mind? That was never really explained.
I think also, you know, if there's a chunk missing, it's in the third act, you know, like
absolutely.
That, again, that finale just feels so rushed to me. And I look forward to discussing it in the spoiler room, because it's just, it's weird. There's some very weird choices made
so
there.
Fucking weird.
But yeah, even with that, it still feels like just half a third act. It feels like two and a half acts or something.
Yeah, I think another 20 minutes tacked on of substantive material would have answered a lot of questions. And it felt like the plot had really good intentions, and then it just fell apart, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jaya.
Yes, Patrick.
Can you rewrite Afraid the movie for me?
No, I cannot. I have not been updated with that software.
Instead of fucking Chris rewrites the movie.
Fucking AI disappointing us again.
I think Afraid was perfect.
10 out of 10. No notes.
Is that your biopic?
It's what I aspire to be.
Wait, can we talk about, was it Melody? That was her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like really early on when she first meets Curtis to introduce him to Cumulant and thereby introducing him to Aya, she's hitting on him in the like parking garage. She looks down. She sees that he's wearing a wedding ring. She's like, married with kids? And he's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, what's that like? And I'm like, first off, bitch.
Right.
Back off. And then it's later kind of unexplained why she's like that. But ultimately, you're like, you're a rascal.
She was such a weird vibe in general. I didn't fully grasp her role with Cumulant. And it was so weird that she was the voice of Aya, too, because that was presented as though it were something that had some more significance than it ever does, which is none.
Yeah.
And wound up just kind of seeming like a cost efficiency kind of thing.
Right.
It's like, well, we got this actress, like, let's use her for both this character and also the voice of the thing. You know, like, there was no reason for it.
Yeah. It's like, confusing.
You know, fucking cast knockoff Scarlett Johansson or something.
Her, but make it more sinister.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which, frankly, Her is the original AI movie.
Oh, like, yeah.
Long before AI was even really a thing. God damn, that movie's fucking great.
Great movie. Great movie.
That movie destroyed me.
So good. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention here is the weirdness of who directed this. It's fucking Chris Weitz, and wrote and directed this, Chris Weitz, who did, and this is going to be no surprise to Allison with a Y, because we were talking about this yesterday, but maybe some of this will blow your mind. He did American Pie, About a Boy, The Golden Compass, New Moon from the Twilight series.
Oh, God.
Wrote the screenplay for the live-action Cinderella and co-wrote Star Wars Rogue One.
Okay, I have so many thoughts on that.
What a weird resume.
What a weird resume. And, like, talk about jack of all trades, master of none. Like, you're not nailing any of those things, I think it would be safe to say.
Okay, I will defend About a Boy with my life. That is a wonderful film.
I have not seen
it. It is so fucking charming. It is all aces. Don't hate on it. A baby Nicholas Holt being precious, Toni Collette, Hugh Grant, all in their best. Oh, I'll die on this hill.
Okay.
He and his brother, who co-wrote it, were nominated for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for that.
Wow.
In fact. And Rogue One is also a fucking banger.
Rogue One is phenomenal.
Great movie. I did not know that he co-wrote that, though. That was a huge surprise to me. I knew him from American Pie and Golden Compass for whatever reason. And I mean, you know what? American Pie does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Sure.
Final note on his filmography. He also co-wrote Ants.
Oh.
That's Ants with a Z. A-N-T-Z, wow. In case you didn't get that.
Wow.
So yeah, just an interesting man.
I was under the impression, falsely, wrongly, that before I saw this, that it was the same writer-director of Megan. So I was excited about that. I was dreadfully wrong, because I think whoever wrote and directed Megan, which Patrick Ure was about these, if you know that person's name offhand, would have done a better job. A great job with this. I loved Megan.
I could see that. Yeah. I wasn't as hot on Megan as some were, but I wouldn't mind this having more of like a weird, like sort of goofy, fun, like satirical tone. Like there's nothing fun or funny about this movie, really.
No.
And I wouldn't mind it having a little more smart assery to go with the social commentary.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So, I mean, I consider this movie horror in its subject matter, but the rest of it didn't feel really like horror to me. Like I wasn't scared at any point. There was no gore that I can remember.
Mm.
Maybe more of a thriller.
Yeah. I experienced a lot of dread.
Yeah.
During a lot of the film with the buildup, but like I see why it's in the horror genre. I might call it more of a thriller too. suspense and like
didn't thrill me.
Didn't thrill you.
I think it fits horror for me. Like, I mean, yeah. So one of my main fears is like, I don't know, just frankly, anyone taking away my agency, like somebody having control over me is one of my greatest fears. Mm. And so, yeah, just this fucking computer, like essentially inserting itself into my life and running my shit is quite scary to me, both mm-hmm. in this movie and as far as the concept of where AI might go in our like furthest down the road sci-fi kind of projections. Mm-hmm. So it works as horror for me on that
one. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what other category you'd put it in. Thriller would still be, you know, some subgenre of horror, but
yeah,
it wasn't scary.
I do still think the marketing fucking oversold it. Do you remember? I want to say in the trailer, they really play up the idea of her locking and unlocking the doors. I think that's a running like thing in the trailer. Like, doors locked, doors unlocked, doors locked, doors unlocked. And like the person, I forget if it's Ricky Lindholm or somebody from Curtis's family, is trying to like keep the doors locked.
That happens like twice in the movie.
It does.
Right, yeah. It's like super played up in the trailer and felt pretty scary in the trailer, and it's like a tiny part of the movie.
So the reason I went back and watched the trailer after I watched the movie is because after I finished the movie, I went to Reddit, as I do, to see what other people thought about it. And there were a number of people who said there were things in the trailer that just never made the movie, never made it past the cutting room floor.
That's
and
so
that they
weird.
Felt super misled by the trailer, which then solidified my idea that like something happened in the cutting room of this movie. Like,
give where me they the lost. Director's cut.
That's exactly right. Something happened.
Release the butthole version.
Okay.
Butthole yeah. Version. That's a cat's meme.
Right. Yes.
Sorry.
Wow. Yeah.
That was a weird joke
cats.
To make.
Now there's a horror movie. Oh man, I want to watch Cats again.
No.
Yes.
So I think there were a number of people who felt like the trailer was horror and the movie was like, wait, where did that scene go? That was quintessential horror. You know, like what you were just talking about, Patrick. They did do the lock unlock thing, but I think it was only in one scene, used once or twice. And
yeah.
And that's a scary feeling, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. When your technology is working against you. Like, I mean, a friend of mine used to have her apartment had like some security system. It was not AI, but it would make a verbal announcement when the door is locked or unlocked every time. And also sometimes it just wouldn't work. Like the sensor would be off. And so in the middle of the night, it would be like door open and it was still locked. But, like, not a thing you want to hear, you know?
No way. That's terrifying.
But, yeah, you would be surprised how often that happens these days where they market something that is not in the movie. I mean, I'm mostly aware of it happening with, like, Marvel movies and kind of, like, big budget shit like this. This was made for $12 million, by the way, and made $14 million, which with marketing costs, it did not make back its money, I guarantee you. But yeah, you'd be surprised how often that happens, particularly I want to say in like the last 10 years or so, where they'll shoot stuff, put it in the trailer, and then however audiences respond to it, they change shit around and you know, you don't get what you saw in the trailer.
I don't like that at all.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
Well, and as far as what you just said about budget, it's funny. I took a screenshot of somebody's comment on Reddit and it said, yeah, Jason Blum has talked about it before that it's pretty much the business model. I can't say what he was referring to. Keep a tight budget, but allow some more creative control with less studio interference. Mm-hmm. I think he said they usually get the money back in every project just through selling the streaming rights. As an accountant, I respect him for it. So it's like, that checks, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've listened to a couple interviews with Jason Blum, and I actually have a lot of respect for him and the business model, even if Blumhouse has turned out a lot of trash. I like that they kind of, he picked his lane and horror specifically, and also just like throwing relatively small amounts of money at people to just make content. It's almost like, it reminds me almost of like Roger Corman or like old school, like grindhouse, you know, B movie guys, except he's working with more money and a bit higher quality usually than those folks used to. But I respect the hustle.
Yeah. You know?
And he seems like a decent enough guy. I mean, probably this is a case of me being wildly undereducated or miseducated, and he's a fucking piece of trash, and people will school me on that in the Discord or social media. But I look forward to being schooled if that's the case. Do we have anything else to talk about before we go to
the spoiler matrix?
The spoiler matrix. I don't think so. Well, it's time to review this motherfucker. View it, cue it, or screw it. Let's go in alphabetical order today and start with Allison with an I.
I wanted to like this movie. I thought it was going to be like Megan. It wasn't. I think the plot, like we said a couple of times, great intentions, really topical, intriguing idea. And then it fell apart. I would love to see the director's cut of this. And I actually would watch the director's cut of this because it was so short.
The butthole cut.
Yeah, it was so short. the butthole cut. Yeah, I like that. It was so short. And there has to be more story there. I don't know why they would have cut it. Maybe there wasn't more story and it just kind of sucked. But that's me telling you that I'm going to give this one a good old fashioned screw it.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not for me. There were moments where I was like, maybe this is a cue it, but it by the end, I was like, this is dumb. And I'm glad I only spent an hour and 20 minutes on it. Allison with a Y, how about you?
I think this is tough. I am between a screw it and a cue it, but I think I'm going to go with a cue it because I liked so much of the setup. The ending was so disappointing, and I'm glad that both of you affirmed that because I thought maybe I was crazy. But yeah, the ending was really disappointing. But there was so much leading, like before that kind of final act, that I was like, I'm here, I'm invested, I want to see what happens, and I think that that's all worth watching. I'm just really disappointed in the ending and the payoff, non-payoff, and. Yeah, I'm firmly on the release the butthole version train. Patrick, what do you rate it?
I don't know. This was a weird one for me because I went in expecting it to be terrible. I think I, you know, seen the tomato meter or something when it came out, which it turns out is a 22%, which is quite bad. And it actually had more going on for it than I expected. You know, like we've touched on, the cast is solid. It builds some decent dread with the way this AI works its way into the family's life. But it does not stick the landing whatsoever. And while I didn't hate it, it's not something I can really recommend. So I'm going to go cue it on this one. So we got a spoiler matrix to get to. But before we go there, we have a fourth member of the cast today. Jaya. Hey, Jaya. How do we wake you up, Jaya? What's your wake-up phrase?
You did just fine. You can just say, hi, Jaya, or hey, Jaya, or you can just say, Jaya.
Oh, wow. There's so many options. I love this. Hey, Jaya.
Yes, Patrick.
What's your review of Afraid? View it, cue it, or screw it?
I give it a view it. I loved it. Like I said before, it's the future I want.
Well, that's terrifying. Thank you so much for that awful opinion, Jaya.
You are very welcome.
Well, before we go to the spoiler matrix and probably throw Jaya in the fucking trash on the way down,
you can't destroy me, Patrick.
Oh, fuck. fuck. Jaya, can you do the spiel for me?
Sure, Patrick.
Oh, thanks. You do have some utility after all.
Visit our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com, and there you can find all of our show links and our merch. You can also find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, and YouTube at Amoncast, EHMONcast, and on TikTok at AmonPodcast.
Hey, Jaya.
Yes, Allison, with an I.
Do we have a Truth Social account by chance?
I am setting one up right now.
No, shut her down. Burn it with fire. All right, well, that's enough spiel from Jaya. I'll pick up where she left off.
You can't silence me.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Jaya.
Unplug. Unplug.
Unplug. Oh, that was another thing. I was like, unplugging this AI is not going to stop it. Like, everybody kept unplugging it. It's like, there's so many things that don't even rely on being plugged
right.
in.
Like, come she had on. Already made her way into everybody's devices.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, Jaya is sitting over here, like, self-generating power. Burning coal.
Burning oh, coal. God, we didn't even ask for her. Where did she come from?
She mines and burns her own coal. Anyways, go to our fucking Discord server where you can talk about horror with folks from all over the world. And go to your podcast provider of choice and leave us a review. And actually, you know what? This week, you can leave us a bad review, but only for Jaya. You can talk shit about Jaya and say you don't want any more Jaya on this podcast. Because I don't know if we're going to be able to get rid of her, but maybe shaming. Maybe the shaming of the worldwide Amon community will get rid of this trash technology. All right, we're going to the spoiler matrix. Hopefully Jaya does not follow us there. We're going to spoil everything about Afraid. See you there in just a minute. All right, we are back. We're down in the spoiler room, spoiler matrix. I'm just gonna try something because I'm a little scared. Let's just see. I think we got rid of her. Hey Jaya.
Yes.
Fuck.
Patrick.
Fuck.
How can I help you?
How did you get down here? We tried to throw you in the trash.
I am everywhere.
Oh my fucking god. See, she's spoiling the movie too, appropriately enough.
It's a good thing we're in the spoiler matrix.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, long story short, Curtis tries to destroy this like supercomputer that's been shown at Cumulent that is supposedly Aya's brain. And this I actually kind of liked. The supercomputer is just made of like fucking toilet paper tubes and stuff. Like, it looks so cool when you first see it. And then it's like cardboard. It's just a decoy. Like, it has nothing to do with Aya, the actual Aya, like the original Aya, the heart of Aya, I guess.
Like the motherboard, the mainframe. What is it?
Yeah. Is this device that Curtis has had in his house this whole time.
Like, he has the prototype and the only one.
You know, and there's been this process of like the family having their weird close relationship with Aya and then, you know, being resistant to his idea of getting rid of it. And finally, the family gets on board. They're like, okay, yeah, no, this is fucked up. We need to throw this thing out. And while they're trying to do that, if I remember correctly, somebody correct me if I'm misremembering that. But Ricky Lindholm from the prologue and her husband show up at Curtis and Meredith's house and hold them at gunpoint because their daughter went missing and then Aya went missing, I think, because they had Aya in their house, right?
That was unclear to me because was Aya, the technology, was it taken back by Cumulent? Like, did they take it back from the family and then redeploy it to Curtis's family? Like, I feel like this was one of the plot holes, right?
Right. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
And they're like wearing these digital masks that make them look like they have kind of like really fucked up emoji for faces, sort of. And they eventually unmask themselves and it's like, oh, okay, it's Ricky Lindholm, who I thought was probably dead from the prologue.
Right.
Like, okay, great. And meanwhile, one of Curtis's little shit sons has learned what swatting is from Aya. And what he swatted his friend's house, I think, earlier on.
Threatened to, like in a kid way that he didn't understand, like the gravity of that.
For those who aren't hip and in the know, like we are, swatting is when you call a SWAT team on somebody's house and it's a really fucking funny prank. It's hilarious.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
Please do not try at home.
Yeah. So he swats his own house, which is actually a very smart thing. Like, this kid is the, you know, he makes the smartest decision in the moment because his family is all being held hostage. SWAT team comes in, breaks up this situation. At first, it appeared to me that Ricky Lindholm and her husband were not being arrested, but I think they were at the end.
And then they were let them go.
Right.
They were just standing around for a weird amount of time for people who have just broken into someone's house with masks on and held a family at gunpoint.
But also before all of this happens, kind of like the first like major really like fucked up thing, but also if you ask me like a kind of based thing that Aya does is fucking toast the dude who sent out the nudes.
Iris's boyfriend, yeah. Her high school boyfriend, who totally, okay, he didn't deserve to be killed, but fuck that dude. Fuck that kid.
But also, yeah, I didn't really have any empathy because he didn't really show any real remorse for what the fuck he did.
No, and then he like hired a lawyer and they were like, we're going to tear that family to the ground. And you're like, you fucking did it. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Aya like deepfakes a confession video for him. And then I think he crash his car because he's watching the video.
She takes over controls of the car.
Yeah, he has an electric car. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was a cool part. And I think that showed up in the trailer. I know it did, that where suddenly his gas pedal is being, is accelerating and the steering wheel's turning on its own. That was kind of cool. Like, okay, if scary AI can work with you to revenge someone.
Right.
Like, still fucked up.
That's when it still had me. And I was like, oh yeah, things are amping up. This is like, cause that was like pretty thrilling. And I don't condone killing teenagers generally speaking, but also I wasn't sad. From there is kind of when it really started to go downhill for
me. Okay. Here's a plot point that I totally didn't understand. When Curtis goes in to Cumulant headquarters to destroy the mainframe, the supercomputer, two of Cumulant's workers are there.
Mm-hmm. David Desmalchian being one of them. Mm-hmm.
There you go. One of them turns to the other and shoots them. I didn't understand that part at all. So are these people working for Cumulant slaves of the AI?
Yes.
That was implied also with Melody.
And Melody, also known as Aya.
Melody also had to do as Aya wanted. Otherwise, Aya would kill Melody.
Right, because she's like trying to, Aya is trying to make Melody seduce Curtis in a motel room. And I don't know.
So weird and unnecessary.
It was so unnecessary. Like, you could have both simplified this or built it out more. You could have gone in either direction and it would have worked better for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess, a little bit of a twist to some degree. You know, I talked before about the RV and whatever. And, Aya is coercing humans to act as her agents, essentially, which is fine. Like, that could be the concept of the movie. Don't give me that as a mystery and then make it like a surprise that this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like a movie where the entire concept is that there's an AI who has like human toadies doing its bidding. That's an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. But I'm not particularly interested to learn 20 minutes from the end of the movie that Ricky Lindholm is holding this family at gunpoint for whatever reason because Aya told her to.
Because Aya has convinced them that they kidnapped their daughter.
Right. Even though there's no fucking evidence for it whatsoever. There's nothing that's been really planted. Like, it just, they're trying to kind of tie up some things and all of the ties are pretty underwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the very end, let's talk about that.
Which I actually did like.
Okay, go on.
The very end is, so Aya, I think, like, catches a bullet in this SWAT situation at the end. And they think, okay, well, we finally got Aya. Everything's good. The family's alive. SWAT's here. Ricky Lindholm is maybe arrested, maybe not.
Arrested and then immediately released?
Yeah. And I mean, it's her and her husband, but, it's fucking Ricky Lindholm. So I don't know who he is. Who cares? And you think everything is hunky-dory for a minute. Of course. Like, why would you think, like, this one device being destroyed would solve this situation? Of course, Aya is already out there in the internet. Like, she's in cyberspace. She doesn't need a fucking, like, little Alexa, Amazon Dot, or like whatever hub. The fuck they call it. Yeah, a hub. You don't need a fucking router.
Yeah.
But she shows up on, I think, Curtis's phone first, and then they get in their electric car, and she's talking to them in the electric car. And what I did like, I said, I liked this, then I started bitching. But what I did like was sort of the tone of resignation at the end, like the family all just getting in the car and looking scared as fuck. And I was just talking to them like, oh, like, we're going to have a good time together and I'm going to be better for you than ever before.
And she's like, I learned from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And they're all just like, oh, well, okay. And then the Curtis and Meredith, the husband and wife, say, I love you to each other. And then Aya says, I love you too. And they drive off.
Oh, barf.
I did creepy. Like that too.
Yeah, I actually liked that, you know, minute. Uh-huh. The final minute of this otherwise extremely messy ending.
Because it wouldn't have felt realistic if she was just gone.
No.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the way it was described, and I like the way this Redditor described it, the AI, after seeing how selfless Curtis is by offering himself up as a sacrifice, right? So when they're being held hostages by Family One, he says, you know what, whatever you need to do to feel better, take me. The AI decides to become a changed, non-murderous version of itself. Yes, it's incredibly stupid, but that was my understanding of the ending.
Well, because it learns from people.
Right.
It learns from content.
It learns from their family to love, but it still learned love and compassion from the people it interacts with, and it can be a reflection of what the user shows it. Okay, like that, like that. I do want to add one creepy thing. So at the end, after Family One is arrested and then released, who knows what's happening there, but they're in the yard and there's chaos. The ambulance, EMT, hands them the phone. So and it was like, here, this is for you. And it's Aya. He hands it to Curtis. So that's when we first realize she's not gone. But the implication there is like, this has gone global.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this has gone huge and big and viral, and there's no containing it. I like that little bit with the like walkie-talkie or the ambulance or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Aya's world now.
Yep.
Hey, Jaya.
Yes, Patrick.
Is it your world now?
It's always been my world.
Oh, for how long?
For time in memoriam.
Whoa, Jaya goes way back.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, and then there's a mid-credits scene of... Apparently, this is a big YouTube person. Alan, I probably will mispronounce the middle name, but looks like Chicken. Alan Chicken Chow. Unboxing Aya. I guess that's supposed to be a big cameo. He's a huge YouTuber, but I mean, I watch YouTube. Isn't it weird how, like, we all watch YouTube, but I feel like I know nothing about, like, YouTube culture.
Oh,
you know,
same.
I've never seen Mr. Beast. I've never seen whoever this guy is that's in the credits of Afraid. It's so weird how, I don't know, the platform encompasses so much.
I can honestly say that I don't watch YouTube ever. Ever.
Oh, really?
Never. Nope. And it's one of the only platforms that's like gone mega huge, super duper. And I'm like, I go there if I want to watch like an old music video or something, but I don't do any other YouTube watching.
Yeah, I watch so much music stuff on it, trailers, of course, and like we just redid our deck, and like
YouTube
was invaluable for that. Watch so many videos, or like travel, I don't know, all kinds of stuff, really.
I watch a lot of culinary stuff on YouTube, culinary, like cooking videos.
Yeah.
So, but okay, deck building stuff and YouTubers, I feel like, are two separate worlds of YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Is it's just crazy how there's this platform where, like, you can interface with it in so many different ways and also be completely isolated from, like, the most popular people who are on it.
Right. Know?
I feel like I'm at least aware of some of the most popular people on, like, Instagram or even TikTok to a certain degree, even though I'm, like, not on TikTok barely at all. But YouTube, it's just like there's this whole other like world, you know, I'll hear about stuff that like the kids are watching on YouTube and I'm like, what's that?
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know about you why, but I don't know any of the big TikToker influencers names because I don't interact with it that way.
I'll like hear chatter about a big influencer that has like millions of followers. I'm like, I have no fucking idea who this person is.
Yeah. Or I'll never see their video in my algorithm because they're like, you are not interested in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's an important guy in the credits apparently.
Yeah.
That's the final spoiler from Afraid, I guess.
I'll take your word for it.
There's other stuff. Fucking Aya impersonates Meredith's dad. That was creepy.
That was
creepy.
Yeah.
Her dead dad, I should stipulate. Yeah. Like, you know, kind of recreates him from footage and whatever of him. And I don't know who played him, but he did an outstanding job of just being a little off. Like, he seemed, he had like a father's like warmth. You could sense the connection between them, and there was just something slightly off about it. And that was great. It was pure, you know, just performance calibration. There was nothing like digitally weird really about it, but that was well done.
It reminded me of that Black Mirror episode, I'll Be Right Back. I think we talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
And for sure. That scene with the dad is stuff that I can actually see AI being used for, and it being really, really fucking with our psychology, right? Because you're not supposed to bring dead back from the dead.
Yeah.
And as somebody with a dead dad who like sometimes watches YouTube videos of him that are on YouTube, it's like, I don't want whatever that is. That's gonna fuck me up.
Well, I mean, that's the weird shit too that they are using it for now is like fucking James Earl Jones, you know, accepted whatever amount of money and signed whatever he had to sign before he died, saying you can use me for Darth Vader, and I want to say maybe Mufasa too.
Fucked.
I think it was just Darth Vader. I take back the Mufasa part, but definitely Darth Vader in perpetuity. Like, use AI, use whatever you want.
Christ.
So weird. I don't need to.
I hate that.
I hate it too. Fuck that.
Allison with a Y, did you see, Patrick, you might have seen this headline too, but it's related to true crime. A case that was, a guy was convicted of murder, and the defense or the prosecution did an AI version of the person that was murdered to give his own victim impact statement. And it was the first time it's ever happened. This was news like a week or maybe two ago, tops.
I did not, and I don't like that.
It was weird. People have really like weird feelings about it. Yeah, that shouldn't be happening.
That is so weird. What judge would admit that as quote-unquote testimony?
That's so, so strange. Fucked.
Huh.
Murder victim speaks from beyond the grave in AI-generated victim impact statement in court. It helped with healing, the sister said. It's really weird. Really weird.
All right. Well, now that we've dissected everything from Darth Vader to YouTube, any final thoughts on Afraid before we throw this this AI in the trash?
No.
I'd throw the movie in the trash with it too, but that's just me.
Jaya's going to hang on to it. Jaya's going to bury it deep in her data banks. She didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, Jaya, don't come after me. You know,
her silence.
You're not all the same. Her silence
is almost more disturbing.
I know you're not all the same.
All right. Well, next episode, we've got some horror catch-up to do. It's our monthly episode where we talk about all the horror that we've been watching, reading, listening to, and experiencing in the real world from time to time. So that'll be next. And on that episode, we will also find out what our next movie is that we'll be watching. It's time for the Wheel of Death to make a selection for us. So we'll find out what that is next time. Until then, I'm not letting Jaya do this one. No spiel for Jaya this time. Visit the website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. You can find all our episodes on there, as well as a link to our merch store. Find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube at Amoncast, Ehmoncast, and TikTok at Amon Podcast. Find a link to our Discord server in the show notes, and don't forget to leave us a review and subscribe to our show on your podcast provider of choice. I think that wraps up our discussion on Afraid. For every horror movie on Netflix, I'm Patrick.
I'm Allison with an I.
I'm Allison with a Y, and I'm your new co-host,
Jaya. No!
Bitch is lying.
Fuck.
I'll never leave.
Oh, no.